Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck. We're going to continue to make our way through the Acts of the Apostles. We're looking at chapter 20 from the Acts, and it's Paul saying goodbye to presbyters, priests, and even bishops, possibly from Ephesus, that he had raised up, that he had formed, and he's on his way to Jerusalem, and he's being led, he said. We had a chance to tune into the program yesterday. Paul's reading from the section where Paul says he was compelled by the Holy Spirit to go to Jerusalem, and that the Holy Spirit was warning him that he was going to suffer trials and difficulties and hardships when he goes there. So we ended the program yesterday talking about the reality of how much the church gives us both the gospel readings throughout these days, Jesus and John's gospel, in particular the Last Supper discourse, and Jesus talks chapter 16 and 15 about the Holy Spirit, about the gift of the Holy Spirit, the call to abide in the Lord, that the Holy Spirit would be with us to advocate for us, to comfort us, to guide us, to remind us all the teaching that Jesus gave, to give us courage and strength, spiritual gifts, and the rest of it. So we've been hearing a lot about this. And so Paul, in his goodbye to the brothers at Ephesus, describes what he experienced as an apostle and what he gave to them. And we ended yesterday with this from Paul. He said, verse 24, "But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may accomplish my course in the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus, to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." So it echoes what he wrote to in many places in his letters, but Galatians chapter 2 in particular, you know, he said, "I no longer live for myself," basically. He said, "The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God." He's dead to himself. Another place he said, "It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." The different kind of ways of expressing the same principle, kind of over and over again for Paul. He understood that to become a disciple, that we have to die. There's something in us that has to die. Like Jesus said, if you want to come after me, you must deny yourself. That's what has to die, the self. The dimension of our life and personality that insists on doing things in our own way or exalting ourselves above other people. And Paul would say in a variety of places that we make it our aim now to please the Lord. That's the fundamental goal of a disciple. No matter what area of life I'm talking about, whether it's, you know, marriage, family, work, personal life, sexual life, financial life, relationships, attitudes, everything. We say, how should I live? Well, it's simple. We want to ask ourselves the question, in this situation or regarding this topic or regarding this principle or this debate, how can I please the Lord? What would please the Lord? What way of thinking, what way of living, what way of behaving would please him? And then the Holy Spirit will help us understand what pleases the Lord, and then the Holy Spirit will give us the strength and the power to be able to live that out. So Paul's describing how that happened really in his own life. Now, verse 25, he said, "And now behold, I know that all you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will see my face no more." So this is his final goodbye to them. He said, "Therefore, I testify to you this day that I'm innocent of the blood of all of you, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God." I just had a conversation the other day with a really, really good priest. We were talking about this very thing, and he was being very honest about certain teachings in the New Testament that he's not thrilled to have to talk about, and he finds himself avoiding it in different ways. This is a great line, not only for bishops and priests, but really for all of us, but particularly for those who've been given charge to teach the faith, to proclaim the whole gospel. "I testify to you this day that I'm innocent of the blood of all of you, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God." He didn't hold back anything out of the fear of men. He spoke, you know, what people often talk about as, you know, the loving words of Jesus, the loving teaching of the gospel, of the New Testament. But he also spoke the hard words of Jesus, the high expectations that Jesus has for us, the real clear moral teaching of the church, the high call of the Beatitudes, the clarity of the vice lists that are in the New Testament, about what kind of behavior will lead us to hell if we don't repent of it. So Paul was clear. He gave the whole counsel. He said, so literally, I gave you everything that was given to me. I've been faithful to it. And if you hold on to these, to the whole counsel of what I've given to you, you will have the wisdom. You'll have what you need to enter eternal life. The full teaching of Jesus. He held nothing back. That's an important exhortation for all the leaders in the church today. We have to internalize this. There's a collision that's going on between the culture and the church in our country now, in a way it went on in other countries decades ago, but it's intensifying now, and it's a kind of a global intensification where groups of people, influential people, the kings of the earth, as Psalm 2 talks about it, are setting themselves against the teaching of Jesus in the areas of life, in the areas of the meaning of human sexuality, in the meaning of what it means to be male, female, all these kinds of issues. And there's a growing kind of intensity of coming after the church, and there's a temptation of leaders of the church to not speak the truth, to conform to the world, to get along, to accommodate, to avoid conflict. If you're in a position of leadership in the church, you cannot be a conflict avoider. If that's your instinct and that's your kind of natural leaning, get help, get support from the brothers, repent of it, get help from the Holy Spirit, because you don't want to be in a position of giving into that. Because look at Paul's life. Paul's life was filled with conflict and resistance everywhere. And we've created a culture such that for some, the idea of even having one person in my congregation upset with me about what I say could deter me from speaking about the topic. Or having that experience one time can easily be a tape in our head. I'm just not talking about that stuff again because it upsets people. That's not a good place to be. Verse 28, he goes on to say, but take heed to yourselves and to all the flock. Now he's challenging them as leaders, in which the Holy Spirit has made you guardians to feed the church of the Lord, which he obtained with his own blood. What a beautiful thing. What's the church? It's that living organism, that body of people that have been purchased at the price of the blood of Jesus Christ and been made alive in the power of the Holy Spirit so that we're one body with him. Absolutely amazing. It's the most important thing going on the planet, actually. You know, the church is, despite its, right now, its brand has really been hit by its own sin, by a secular culture that doesn't care about it much anymore. Its influence is shrinking, its numbers are shrinking, and there's a lot that goes into all that. But fundamentally, the most important organization, the most important organism on the earth is the church. It's not Amazon, it's not Facebook, it's not Wall Street, it's none of that. It's all that passes away. What will never pass away is the church. Now, some who have been baptized into the church may be separated because of our own decision, because our behavior and the rest of it. But the bottom line is, this church is Christ's living body, and it will never pass away. Verse 29, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. So some of the things that we're seeing today in society and in the church, Paul warned about way back then. Wolves are going to come. Who are these fierce wolves? Well, people that the false teachers, false prophets, people who accommodate the gospel, people who decide, look, there's a whole, I'm going to take parts of this and I'm no longer going to talk about it, right? Why? Because the world doesn't like it. And my people who are sitting in front of me don't like it. What does that mean? It means that you as a shepherd, as a leader, as a teacher, you need to bring those very teachings to bear in people's lives, to convince them, as Paul would say in another place, to exhort them, to rebuke them even. Oh, that's a word that's very clear in the teaching of Jesus and very clear in the teaching of the apostles. It was something they had to do on occasion, but we're just allergic to it in the church, and it's a really bad idea. I'm underlining this again, I know, but it's just a really bad idea to avoid the full counsel of Jesus' teaching and the teaching of the apostles. Don't edit the mail. Deliver the mail. Don't edit the mail. That's one of the things I think is just a helpful way to think about it. And so they're required as guardians to actually protect the flock from this false teaching. Right now, in the church, there are false teachers. Some bishops in the world are false teachers. Some priests in the world, in our country, false teachers. They're teaching things that line up with the world and the secular worldview, but they contradict what has been the teaching of the church from the beginning. And I don't hear and I don't see enough of other priests, other bishops standing up and being absolutely clear and calling out their brothers when their brothers clearly are false teachers in certain areas. And so they're not guarding the flock in that way. So Paul goes on, therefore be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. One of the things I love about this reading is how Paul openly talks about his tears. He's probably had tears from the suffering he's undergone, but a lot of his tears come from admonishing the brethren. He's pleading with them. He loves them. He wants to see them come into Christ and to be saved. He understands what's at stake. He has that deep urgency and that profound love of a shepherd's heart, and he pleaded with them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. Admonishment is part of what needs to happen in the preaching of the Word of God and shepherding people. And now I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace. It's so beautiful. Which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. You see how clearly he understands who he is, what he's doing, and where the power, the transformational power is. It's in God and God's word and God's grace. It builds you up and strengthens you and allows you to be sanctified, to go deeper and deeper in holiness. He continues. He says, I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things I have shown you that by so toiling, one must help the weak. Big part of the church's ministry and mission. Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And then he comes to a conclusion here. And when he had spoken thus, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And they all wept and embraced Paul, and they kissed him, sorrowing most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they should see his face no more. And they brought him to the ship. And so, what a beautiful scene, how the presbyters gather around him and he exhorts them, he challenges them, he speaks truth. He's a gutsy guy and he's doing it because he loves them. And then they kneel down in the goodbye and they weep together. Now, I know they're Middle Easterners, so they tend to be more expressive about their emotions. I'm a German, that doesn't happen quite so easily. But this is a sign of healthy brothers' relationships in Christ. This is so authentic. It's so human. It's so good. And think about it. It breaks my heart to think about the divisions now that are in the church and what people are thinking about clergy and how paralyzed clergy are now because of scandals and betrayals and other kinds of things that are going on. We need Holy Spirit come and bring healing to the body. And may we have a unity in the spirit and the bond of peace. May we teach the faith with clarity and with confidence, the whole counsel of God's word, and may we love one another like this, from the heart, with great passion, which is the love of Jesus for his body, for his people, for his children. Come, Holy Spirit, and renew us. Amen.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.